Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group, NCA, in Zuchus of Rivka Bela, Bas Nechama Shifra, and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Our next learning will take us through Siman Chav Ches, the 28th chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and the topic is Sefer Torah and Svarim. We're going to be looking at four basic topics. Topic number one is the mitzvah of writing a Torah. The next concept is about honoring holy writings. Number three is about treatment of old svarim. And finally, for the fourth topic is desecrated holy writings. Let's jump straight in. The mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. The last mitzvah in the Torah is to write a Torah, which makes a lot of sense. The Torah says, V'ata kisu lachem es ashira. So it's write for yourselves this song, understood to mean the entire Torah. And before I should explain how we get there. Five basic questions on this. What if I inherited or received a Torah as a gift? Do I still need to do it right? The answer is yes. You need to be involved in the process of getting it. So let's say writing a Torah is for the few. I can't learn to be a sofer, so how can I write a Torah? So three ways one can fulfill this mitzvah. One can hire a sofer to write one. One can buy a sefer Torah which is written, and one can correct a posel sefer Torah. There are many Torahs which are posel, and if one invests in hiring a sofer to fix them, that would be considered like writing a Torah. But what are other mitzvahs that are related to this? So there's a separate mitzvah, which is to buy svarim, to buy holy books that one will learn and lend to others to learn as well. And in fact, the Kitzur quotes the Gemara, which is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, which says, that his righteousness will stand forever. That refers to a person who writes svarim and lends them to others as well. What is included in the writing of svarim or buying of svarim? That is referring to Tanakh, Mishnah, Gemara, Poskim, all things that will be learned as well. What if I can afford only either writing a Torah or buying Svarim? I should buy Svarim because that's going to allow me to learn Torah as well. Concept number two, honoring holy writings. The background is since Sefer Torah and Holy Svarim are written with holy words, with Psukim, therefore they need to have a designated space which is set aside for them. And number two, they need to also be treated, and their place needs to be treated with utmost respect. We're going to look at 12 questions on this concept. First of all, may I sell a Sefer Torah? The answer is no. It's the apex of holiness that we create in this world, and one is not allowed to sell it. If it is of great financial need, one should ask a Shaila. It's a complex question based on the Mishnayos and Gemara's in Megillah. Number two, what must I do when a Torah is being carried? So if a Torah is being carried, I need to stand up. How long must I stand up for? So as long as I can see it while it's being carried, or until it's placed in the Aron, in the Ark, or on the Bema, on the platform. Number four, when handling the Torah, are there any important things to be aware of? The answer is yes. One cannot handle the parchment with one's bare hands, as we learned before. Some of you are even careful not to even hold the wooden handles with bare hands because of the incredible respect one has. What can I not do in the presence of a Sefer Torah? One cannot spit in the presence of a Torah, and one can certainly not urinate or defecate in the presence of a Sefer Torah. What can I not do in the presence of Svarim, holy books? The answer is the same, except that at a Shas Adchak, if there's no possibility to avoid it and one needs to urinate, one can do so if the Torah, the book, not the Torah, because it only refers to Svarim, is on a platform which is 10 Tfachim high, which is considered a separate Rishus, a separate area as well. Of course, that is Shas Adchak. Our next question, if there are Svarim on the bench or pew, may I sit there? The answer is no. I cannot sit on the same level as a Sefer, unless a Sefer is elevated 1 Tefach, about 3.5 inches high, so therefore it's not like one sitting on the same level as it. Next question, what if there is a chest which has Svarim in it? May I sit on top of it? The answer is no, unless it is Shas Adchak, a difficult situation. There's nowhere else to sit. There's nowhere, I'm getting tired, and it's been a very long time. I'm standing at a place that I cannot move. Then one may, unless there's a Sefer Torah in it, then one may not even under such circumstances. Where can I not place a Sefer? Always, I can never place a Sefer on the ground. That's completely disrespectful. This is an important question, our 10th question. What can I not use a Sefer for? So here is a list. I may not lean on a Sefer. So let's say I put it on my knees and I lean my elbow on it. Or I put it on the desk and I'm leaning on it. I cannot use it to block sunlight from myself. I cannot use it to create privacy. Let's say I'm playing a game and I don't want other people to see what I'm writing, so I put up a Sefer to make me as my curtain, my blocking, my privacy curtain. What happens if I'm not allowed to store important documents in it? I'm not allowed to use it as a bookmark for another Sefer if it's a small one. And I'm not allowed to write Chidushim, even Torah Chidushim, on a piece of paper which is resting upon a Sefer as well. These are all acts of disrespect that need to be avoided. A few clarifications. What happens is I'm putting a sefer under another sefer in order to prop it up so I can see it better. That's fine, because it's not for personal use. Similarly, what happens if I am learning and I need a sefer to stop the sunlight coming onto the sefer that I'm learning? Then it's fine, because it's not personal use. And finally, can I put svarim on other svarim? The answer is yes, but there are a few rules, and that is, for instance, the Chumash always goes on top, Torah always goes on top of Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and Nevi'im always goes on top of Ksuvim. So one has to be careful about these things as well. There are certain halachas about the fact that the first four books of the Torah cannot have a Devarim placed on top of them, but that the Ketzer does not get into right now. We move into our third of four concepts, and that is the treatment of old Svarim. The Torah commands us, you should destroy Avodah Zarah, but you are not allowed to do so for Hashem, which means you're not allowed to erase the name of Hashem, and you're not allowed to destroy holy sites or holy things. And therefore, one has to be very careful in treating Sefer Torah and Svarim, even if they're old. What happens if they are old and they are rotting or they are falling apart? What can I do? They have to, if they're beyond repair, then they need to be buried. This is called geniza, which means to say they cannot be thrown out. What about the covers of them? So if it's touching it directly, so for instance, the cover of a mezuzah, the boxes of the tefillin, the mantle of a Sefer Torah, those are called Tashmishei Kedusha. They're directly touching something which has Hashem's name in it, and they must also be buried as well. When making covers for an old Sefer, what must I be careful of? So one has to be sure that the person who's doing the binding does not use the materials or old pages for other other books. And similarly, one also needs to be careful that the pages of the book that I'm binding are not going to be used as the material to bind others, or the covers be used for something else as well. I'm also not allowed to take material that comes from other books that are for secular books, from secular books, and certainly not from pagan textbooks as well. May not be used even b'di'evad, you know, to help frame a sefer as well. How far does this? How far does this go? So how much it requires actually geniza? So a sefer Torah of course requires geniza, and the name of Hashem requires geniza, and full psukim require geniza. But let's say you have a parsha sheet which has not full psukim and does not have the name of Hashem. It can be discarded respectfully, so in recycling, not in the garbage, but it has to have a pasuk or full psukim for this to be a concern, and that really covers most svarim. And finally, last concept for today, and that is desecrated holy writings. So if I see holy writings, Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzahs, which are being sold by a non-Jew, must I buy them from the non-Jew? And the answer is yes. One must redeem them in order to be able to take care of them in the appropriate way. What if they, to what cost? How far does this go? Only at value. What happens if they're charging more than the value? So one should try to negotiate to the degree one is able to, but one is not obligated to buy them more than their value. This is one of the Takanos, the Mishnah in Gittin tells us, because otherwise it's going to incentivize further theft, because it's going to incentivize non-Jews to steal these types of things, knowing Jews will pay for it at all costs as well. What happens if I see that they are selling something which needs geniza, so it itself needs burial? So can I just leave it? The answer is no. I am still obligated to redeem it and bury it in such a circumstance. What happens if, God forbid, one sees a Sefer Torah which falls? Let's say it's placed in the Aron incorrectly, the doors open and it falls out, God forbid. That's why there's chains to hold them in place by the Ashkenazi Sefer Torahs. So people must fast, even if it fell in its cover. Who must fast? Everyone who saw the incident must fast. This is seen as a very, very bad sign. It's seen as immense disrespect, and therefore those who are in its presence need to reform their actions as such. With this, we conclude the halachas of Sefer Torah and Svarim and holy writings. Have a wonderful and meaningful